We are in closing up this series. It's been a couple of weeks that we've done this series. I didn't want to make it too long of a series because, man, this is one of those painful kind of a series. It always tends to step on your toes, and it's not that that's a bad thing, but none of us like to be none of us like to leave church kind of feeling like, oh man, I'm worthless. And that's not what this series is about. The series is more about a warning to us, a reminder that all of us have this tendency to be a Pharisee, whether we want to or not. It's in our DNA, it's in our sinful nature to be a Pharisee. In biblical times, Pharisees, they were well respected and liked in the community. In fact, everyone basically spoke well of the Pharisees, everyone that is except Jesus. And that's not a good thing. If Jesus isn't speaking well of you, you're not on the right list, okay? So they were not on the right list. And if you're not familiar with the Pharisees, these were very spiritual men, but their spirituality turned to pride, a lack of compassion, and it turned to hypocrisy. And it was a very ugly place for them. Jesus gives this, in Matthew 23, he gives these seven woes, and it's all directed to Pharisees. And he gives these seven woes, and basically it's a, hey, you're in trouble, woe to you, you're in trouble. If this fits you, if the shoe fits, you're in trouble. And he singles out these Pharisees, and he gives them seven signs. I'm not going to go through all of them, but I want to address one of them, just to kind of so you see what Jesus says about the Pharisees. He says this, woe to you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of bones of the dead and unclean thing, and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside, you appear to be people as righteous, but on the inside, you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. He goes on later on, he says, you snakes, you brood of vipers, how will you escape being condemned to hell? Man, those are some powerful words that you never want to hear from Jesus, right? You never want to hear Jesus saying, how are you going to escape hell? Because that's how bad you are. And that's exactly where these Pharisees were. And the scary thing, is that we have a tendency to be Pharisees ourselves. That's why this is so important. They wanted to look good on the outside, but on the inside they were dirty and rotten. They wanted to have this illusion of having public virtue while they were hiding private vices. Not a very good system for them. Jesus gives a warning to his disciples and to us as well. It's a very short but very powerful warning, and it's this, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees, their hypocrisy. And what he's saying is, he's not making this thing like, you know, yeast is bad and Pharisees have yeast and it's not like that. He's saying, just like a little bit of yeast affects the whole lump of dough and it grows until it affects every part of it, just a little bit of this Pharisee hypocrisy can grow to affect your whole life. All it takes is just a small amount that goes unwatched, a small amount that we don't pay attention to, a small amount that we allow to be there. And you know what? I say this we got to be careful. We say, hey, you know what? I'm okay. I have a problem with greed, and my greed is okay. This little bit, it's just a little bit, but it's okay. No, it's not. Greed will grow, and it will affect all of you. You can say, oh, you know what? I have a little bit of hate towards this one person. And if you allow it, that hate will grow to many people. This is the yeast of the Pharisee, this hypocrisy issue that we're looking at. So in this issue, this Pharisee hypocrisy, it eventually will contaminate all of you. And what starts out little grows to affect every part of your life. And so the warning reminds us of this. And I think you can write these in on your handout if you want to. And that's this. What starts out good can go bad. The Pharisees, they were good. They were started out good, but they went bad. And that's important for us to understand. What starts out good can go bad if we allow it to. Another thing that it reminds us is this. What starts out small can become big. You might say, oh, I just got this little bit of hypocrisy. Yeah, you know, it's okay. It's just a little bit. No, it's not okay. Because that little bit will grow and become large. So we need to address our tendency to be a Pharisee. I love our law enforcement. These are men and women who give their lives to serve and protect us. And I have a friend who is a policeman, and he's kind of high up in the ranks. And so, and he would point out and talk to me about just the different problems that they had in the police force and stuff like that without mentioning names. But he told me that most people go into law enforcement to serve and to protect, and they come in with the best of hearts. They come in with the right heart. They're there to serve and protect. But over time, they get this exposure to the worst of the worst in our community. They get this exposure to the hardness of people, and they get this exposure to the to people with attitudes. And over time, what tends to happen, not in all of them, but in many of them, is they lose their heart for what they were called to do. And what they were called to do starts to sour. And he said that what happens for a lot of police officers is they become greater than the law that they represent or the law that they're there to serve. And we've all seen that. You see it in different police officers, but the truth is it happens in doctors, it happens in lawyers, it happens in pastors, it happens in anybody, that we have this tendency to become Pharisees. So last couple weeks ago, we looked at this. We looked at spiritual indifference and how Pharisees, they were spiritually indifferent. And the application that protects us from that was this: every day do one thing that requires faith. There's all kinds of things you can do, but if you want to protect yourself from spiritual indifference, you have to be engaged with the Spirit. And that is, every day, do one thing that requires faith. It might be pray for somebody. It might be believe God. It might be get into the Bible. Every day, do something that requires faith, and it will deal with your spiritual indifference. Today, we're looking at hypocrisy itself. Now, hypocrisy is easy to spot in other people, but it's difficult to see in ourselves. In fact, we sometimes want to see it in others and refuse to see it in ourselves. That is the problem that we have. I don't know, some of you might even say you know a hypocrite. How many of you say you know a hypocrite? Let me see your hand. Come on, you can wave your hand. You know a hypocrite? Okay. How many of you say that hypocrite's sitting right next to you? Let me see your hand. No, don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. Listen, here's the number one complaint. The number one complaint from non-Christians about Christians is that they're hypocrites. In fact, there's kind of a joke that we tend to play with people. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. I've been guilty of it. I don't like that I'm guilty of it. But there's this joke that we play with people when it comes to hypocrisy, and you invite somebody to church, and people say, oh, I don't go to church because the church is full of hypocrites. And we say, hey, that's all right. There's always room for one more, so join us, right? It's kind of like you kind of want them to put their guards down, and you want to say, hey, nobody's perfect here. That's kind of what we're saying. Nobody's perfect. So we say, hey, it's okay, join us. There's always room for one more. Here's the problem with that. It comes across like we're okay with hypocrisy. When we say, hey, join us, there's always room for one more hypocrite, then what it sounds like we're saying is hypocrisy is okay, we tolerate it, and we don't. We can't. It dismisses the pain that hypocrisy causes in people's lives, that people carry, the pain that they carry. I don't share this story often, but obviously not in my immediate family, but in my extended family, I have somebody very close to us, or close to me, that was molested in the church when they were young. And, you know, thankfully, God has healed them through that process. That's not acceptable. It's unthinkable that kind of stuff would ever happen. Thankfully, it hasn't happened at the Quest. But you know what? That kind of hypocrisy affects people. It causes severe damage in people's lives, and people are been hurt and disappointed by the behavior of people that claim to be spiritual. It can be a pastor. It can be a youth pastor. It can be a lot of different people. I will tell you, many people, I've seen people walk away from God because hypocrisy is a horrible sin. And we've got to be aware of that. All of us have to be aware of that. I'll tell you another thing. I think when it comes to hypocrisy in our lives, I think social media is a perfect breeding ground for hypocrisy, because there's no other place where you can pretend to be what you want others to think you are while you are living something totally different. I mean, I'm not saying that social media is bad, but what I'm saying is it is a perfect breeding ground to be something other, or to portray something other than who you really are. So let's look at what hypocrisy is not. First of all, hypocrisy is not the difference between what we do and what we wish we did. That's where a lot of us think that's what hypocrisy is. We think that hypocrisy is this: you're a hypocrite if what you do and what you wish you did are different. We know that that's not true because no one's perfect. It's not the difference between how we behave and how we wish we behave. In fact, you remember Paul talks about this in Romans 7. He says, I don't understand myself. I decided one way, but then I act another, doing things I absolutely despise. How many of you identify with that and say, I understand that? I've been there. Yeah, all of us. Because this is a sin thing. That is a sin thing. It's not a hypocrisy thing. Hypocrisy is who I claim to be publicly, the difference between who I claim to be publicly and how I live privately. Another one is hypocrisy is a heart issue. And it's this heart issue that says it's okay to mislead others when it benefits me personally. So as long as it benefits me, it's okay for me to mislead other people. We do that because it makes us look better than we are. It makes us look better than others. It protects our reputation that we want, you know. I'll tell you, hypocrisy tends to be the practice of claiming that we have moral standards or beliefs, and yet our behavior does not conform to them. That kind of, I don't know if that stings a little, but I think it should. It should. It does me. It's when we practice to, we claim to have these moral standards, and yet our behavior does not conform to those moral standards that we claim to have. That's difficult. The word hypocrisy literally means this, an actor, one who hides behind a mask, one who hides behind, one somebody who willingly puts on an act to be something other than their true self. In Titus, the book of Titus, it says this, such people claim that they know God, but they deny him by the way that they live. It's a terrible accusation for us. That we would claim to know God, but we deny him by the way that we live, and that's what hypocrisy leads us to do. Jesus also said it this way. He said, you hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. He said, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. That is this dangerous place. When the more we become hypocritical, the more we allow that to grow in our lives, the farther our hearts get to God. We increasingly get further and further away from God. The mask gives us this appearance of something other than our true selves. The mask that we choose to wear, whatever it might be, it gives the appearance of something other than our true selves. It gives an appearance of something that is not there. It gives the appearance of substance that is not there. In the book of Matthew, Jesus tells this story, Matthew tells this story about Jesus. One morning, he's walking down the road and he's hungry and he likes figs. And so he goes to this fig tree and it says this, in the morning as Jesus was returning to Jerusalem, he was hungry. And he noticed a fig tree beside the road and he went over to see if there were any figs, but there were only leaves. Then he said to it, may you never bear fruit again. And immediately the fig tree withered up and died. Okay, now that might sound really weird that Jesus goes to a fig tree expecting to find figs, and there's no figs there, so he gets really upset, curses the fig tree, and it withers up and it dies right there on the spot. Well, maybe somebody already ate the figs, you know? I don't know. Howard and Faith have a fig tree, and I love figs. So like every August, I know that that's the season for figs, and I'll go to their house. And it's very much like that. I've never cursed the fig tree to see if it would die. I never did that. But I've gone over there looking for figs, and there's all these leaves, but there's no figs on them. And it's very frustrating. And what Jesus was saying is the leaves are there to protect the fruit. That's the design of the tree. The design of the tree is that the tree gives leaves and those leaves protect the fruit. Otherwise, the sun would scorch the fruit and it would die. But when there is just leaves and there are no fruit, the leaves give a false image. It's an image of something that does not exist. He's giving an illusion. He's giving this example of what hypocrisy looks like. See it in the Pharisees. It's you come across as if you've got everything together. You've got all the things. You carry your Bible. You're reading your Bible on your phone. You talk about, you know, how great this phone app is that has your Bible, and you make these images, you know, on the Bible app. And you also are looking at porn. So you can have the image while you're doing something completely the opposite. Hypocrisy is bad, and there's a lot of reasons. I'm just going to touch on a few of them. But hypocrisy is bad because, first of all, it hurts others, as we talked about earlier. Arguably, the number one cause of why people don't go to church or turn to God is because of hypocrisy that people allow into their lives. Another reason why hypocrisy is bad is it makes us prideful. we use the mask to portray a false image of ourselves, to make ourselves look better than we actually are. That kind of pride over time will destroy us. We know that Jesus said, we know that the scripture says pride comes before destruction. And we know that if we allow pride into our lives, it will destroy us, because God loves the humble. He calls us to humility. We hide from others. That's what happens. And in the third one, it says this: hypocrisy is bad because it allows us to live a lie. We live this lie with other people. We want them to believe something about us, so we hide behind this mask, and we're basically hiding from other people. Paul says it this way in 2 Corinthians 4. He says, we refuse to wear masks and play games. We don't maneuver and manipulate behind the scenes. Rather, we keep everything we do and say out in the open. In other words, he's saying this: what you see is what you get. We choose to live a transparent and authentic life in front of you and with you. We don't try to manipulate things with a mask to be holier than thou or to be better than other people. Hypocrisy is also bad because it prevents us from experiencing God. If we allow the seed of hypocrisy to go on in our lives, it will prevent us from experiencing God. John 3 says this: whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. In other words, when we live in the light with God, when we live in this light, our lives become exposed to other people. We're not keeping things in the dark. We're not trying to hide. We're not trying to manipulate again. We're living transparent with other people. The last one is this: hypocrisy is bad because it looks nothing like Jesus. And we know that we were called, that God's design for all of us is to be shaped into the image of Christ. That our lives will look like Jesus, that our actions will look like Jesus. Hypocrisy prevents us from having any resemblance of Jesus. In fact, 2 Corinthians 5 tells us this: so we are Christ's ambassadors. In other words, you represent Jesus, every one of us that claim to be a Christ follower. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. You're his mouthpiece. When we have hypocrisy in our lives, our speech, nothing about us reflects God. We cannot reflect him like we were designed to. So here's the good news. While Jesus has zero tolerance for hypocrisy, he has unlimited grace for every sinner who needs forgiveness. And I would say it this way: while Jesus has zero tolerance for hypocrisy, he has unlimited grace for every person who chooses to live an authentic life with him and to be transparent with others. Because all of us have this issue of hypocrisy that we deal with. We have to understand there is hope for the hypocrite. If I can read out of another part of Matthew 23, he says, woe to you Pharisees and religious leaders, you hypocrites. You are so careful to polish the outside of the cup, but the inside is foul with extortion and greed. Blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup, and then the whole cup will be clean. And what is he saying with this? He says, let God change the inside of your life. You focus on the inside, not the outside. Well, look at our tendency. You've seen it. You've heard it. Maybe even you were one who's talked this way. When you talk to people and you invite them to church, what is the first thing that a lot of people say? Oh, no, you know what? I got to get some things straightened up in my life before I can come to church. Here's the issue. That's taking care of the outside rather than the inside. We have to keep our focus on the inside, what God is doing within us. What's going on in my life? Is there any kind of greed? Is there any kind of anything that God is keeping me from living this life that honors God? See, I would rather be an honest sinner than a lying hypocrite. And the truth is, God would rather us be a lying sinner than a lying hypocrite. Proverbs 28 tells us this: people who conceal their sins will not prosper, but if we confess and turn from them, we will receive mercy. All of us are sinners. And it's time for us to drop the mask. We've said it many, many times before, and we'll continue to say it. But we will confess to God for healing, or confess to God for forgiveness, and confess to people for healing. And it's time, when you drop the mask and you choose to be authentic, you choose to live transparently, you come to God and you say, okay, God, you know me. You know me inside and out. You know what's going on in my life. I can wear the mask, but I'm not fooling anybody. In fact, I know I'm not fooling God especially. But sometimes we think we've got God fooled even. It's time to drop the mask, confess to God, confess to people. And people will say this, Dave, I'm too afraid. I'm too afraid that people will be judgmental and that it comes back on me. And I would say this, it's just the opposite. Because when we come clean with God and with others, we have nothing to fear because we have nothing to hide. When we choose to live transparently, we have nothing to hide. Therefore, we have nothing to fear. But we tend to believe this lie that, you know what, people are not going to accept me. People are going to reject me, or people are going to falsely accuse me, whatever. I can't be my true self. And it's just the lies that prevents us from being who God created us to be. I think a great scripture that helps us from going the way of the Pharisee is what David says in Psalms 139. I don't know if you're familiar with this, but King David was a recovering hypocrite. If you remember, a prophet came to David and gave him this hypothetical situation and said, what do you think ought to happen? And David was like, man, he was mad. He said, that person should be condemned. And this prophet said, you are the man. In other words, he was saying, David was giving a judgment against somebody while David was living that exact same way. But here we find in Psalms 139, just a recovering hypocrite's prayer that I think helps all of us. And that is this, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. What he's doing is he's asking God, he's saying, search me, know me, test me, know my anxious thoughts, know what's going on inside, know my thought process, God, what is going on? Point out anything that offends you and lead me in your way. And what is he saying? He's saying, God, I'm coming clean. If anybody can know me, you can know me. If anybody can help me, only God can help. As we close and wrap this time up together, I just want to say this, that this isn't about perfection. Absolutely every single one of us have sin in our life. We are all sinners, that God is working in us and getting rid of the sin in our lives. See, there's a distance between who you might claim to be publicly and how you live privately. And the gap between that, only you and God know. I don't. You can fool a lot of people. You can fool people in your own family. The gap between who you claim to be publicly and how you live privately, that's between you and God. But here's the problem that we need to address, and that is this. You don't close the gap with perfection. We don't close that gap with perfection. Absolutely none of us are perfect. We are all recovering sinners. You ask any alcoholic, have you been delivered from alcohol and you're no longer an alcoholic? No, everybody's like, hey, I'm a recovering alcoholic. I'll be an alcoholic till the days that I die. I'm recovering. I can be sober, I can be clean, but I am recovering. Ask a person who is addicted to porn. Is that done with you? I am recovering. I am in the process of recovering. See, sin is a part of our lives that we don't ever conquer until you get to heaven. It doesn't mean that we fall back into it. It means that we're all in the place of recovering, and there will be times that you fall, but God is there in those times that you fall. It doesn't mean that we seek to fall, but you never will be perfect until you get to heaven. If you want to close the gap, the way you deal with the gap between who you claim to be publicly and how you live privately, you close that gap with Christ. Only He can give you value. Only He can make you who He wants you to be. I'd like you to close your eyes for just a moment as we're going to pray together. I think it's time that we stop trying to be good Christians and start being authentic Christians. Because the truth is, there's nothing good in us in and of ourselves. In fact, I said this in the first gathering that I think is very applicable to hear it again. I think a true Pharisee is somebody who tries to live the Christ's following life on their own rather than in dependence upon the Holy Spirit. Because we cannot live this life that pleases God without the Holy Spirit. We can't. We need to spend time with the one who is good, who is Jesus. Again, Jesus has zero tolerance for hypocrisy, but he has unlimited grace for those who come clean and live this transparent life. So if you're a hypocrite here today, there's hope. If there is a seed of hypocrisy, there's hope. If you've been a hypocrite for a long time and nobody knows the true self, there's hope. God can remove the fear. that keeps you behind the mask, and he can give you a life of freedom to be the person that he's created you to be, because he loves the person behind the mask. He loves that person. And I don't know who I'm talking to today necessarily, but I know this. You need to know and you need to hear that God loves you. You don't have to pretend with God. And the truth is, you don't have to pretend with others, because when you put on a mask, people start loving the person of the mask, and they don't even get to know you. God wants you to be free. He wants you to experience this authentic life. And Father, we come to you today, each one of us. We don't want to be hypocrites. We don't want to be the actor or the actress. We don't want to be the one behind a mask, the one who is misleading intentionally. We want to live an authentic, transparent life. We want to live this life that has so much brokenness attached to it, but with so much dependence upon you. We cannot live a life that honors you on our own. We can't live a life that pleases you on our own. We must rely upon you and your Spirit. So today, Father, forgive us for hiding. Forgive us for manipulating. Forgive us for trying to work things into our favor. Forgive us for the pride. Forgive us for the hypocrisy that we've allowed in our lives. And may it stop. May we be true to who we are. Father, I thank you for every person that's here, and I thank you for who they are. And that even though there's brokenness and there's failure, Father, you still love us and you still care about us. And it's when we start pretending that we're okay that we start deceiving ourselves, and none of us are okay without you. So Father, may you heal us of this fear. May you free us from this fear. And Father, may we walk hand in hand with you, dependent on you, recovering with you. In Jesus' name we ask, amen.